13. Romans chapter number 13 in the Word of God. And encourage you to follow along in the Bible. Encourage you to jot down things that God shows you along the way. Anytime you're in the Bible, you ought to be jotting down things that God gives you to help you remember. If you're like me, I forget. You ever go to a grocery store with a shopping list? Huh? You ever go in the store and do all your shopping and come out and realize you never looked at your list once? And you look at it on the way home and realize you forgot half the things you were supposed to get? That's why my wife doesn't like to send me shopping. So some of us forget things. That's why we write things down. So I encourage you to write things down. If God speaks to you, you ought to jot just a note or two down. And I'll give you some things to think about this morning. In Romans chapter number 13, we've been going through the book of Romans. And each week we do some podcasts on the chapter we're in. And they use it for a discussion time on Sunday school. And we preach from that chapter on Sunday morning and Sunday night. This Sunday night, we've got a special group that's going to be here. Can I move this, Jeff? Will you move that out of the way? And to encourage you to follow along and listen to the podcasts. And, you know, well, I'm going to tell you, I was listening to a podcast of somebody the other day, and like, I never did this to my own to see what they sound like when you put it on double speed. You sound like a chipmunk. I'm going to listen real. Don't do that to me, okay? Well, maybe I'll sound better. No, I can get through it a lot quicker. But all right, the Romans chapter number 13. If you found your place and you're able to stand with us, I encourage you to stand, if you will, in respect to the Word of God as we read Romans 13 in the first 8 verses. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. For they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, that thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, the avenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And these verses of Scripture are a great difficulty to a lot of people. And the reason they're a difficulty is because we look through them through our understanding and our current circumstances and according to our nationality or what's going on in our world around us. I think we need to realize that God's bigger than what is going on around us. God's bigger than our nationality. God's bigger than the governmental systems of this world. And I want to share some things with you along from these verses that I think you'll find interesting this morning. Father, we thank you for the time that we have together in your house. And again, we pray that you would speak to us through the Word of God. Help us to realize that we've got a big God that transcends all time, is bigger than we can ever imagine, that holds the entire universe in the palm of his hand. And one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God that he is God. And God, I pray that you would help us to learn to bow our knee to you today, to realize that it's not about us, it's not about our nationality, our circumstances that we're in. It's about God. Bless our time together now as we look into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a seat if you will. And I want to say from the outset that it's a blessing, civil authority, governmental leaders, and police officers are a blessing. Right or wrong, they're a blessing from God. What? Without them, and it doesn't matter, now we're Americans, and we think of this in the context of Americans, but you go to any country in the world, without any type of civil government, you have nothing but anarchy. You've got pirates. And I know we think of pirates as cute little guys that sing songs to us, right? Pat's the Pirate, our favorite pirate. Oh, they're ruthless, ungodly, wicked people. Or Robin Hoods. And of course, we think of the little cartoon Robin Hood and the people that take justice into their own hands. Or the Wild West. And of course, we think of the cowboys and all that. But no, it's so rough. And not something you'd want to live under, the anarchy. The present day revolutionists, folks that delight in rebelling. I hear people say sometimes, well, bless God, I'm a watchdog. No, you're a wolf is what you are. There is a difference, but most people don't know what the difference is. In reality, those that are leading and calling for much of the stuff that you see going on, they're simply half-cocked idiots is what they are. They're loose cannons that'll go off any direction. You don't know what to expect. You know, and I read the founding of this great nation. We read, well, bless God, we ought to rebel like our forefathers did against England. Let me remind you that they were some of the most intellectual, the most well-educated, the most humble men you would ever meet that founded our nation. They weren't a bunch of crazed idiots that say, well, I ain't going to pay our taxes anymore. Oh, they're not the people that they carefully and humbly planned how they were going to step out from under the authority of their civil government. We ought not to forget that. It's easy to just look at it in perceptive of our understanding of things today. But God speaks in this chapter of governmental authority. Notice what he says in verse number 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. Notice God says it's, in fact, we're going to show you some things, it's completely irrelevant whether I agree with them or not. Whether I have the same moral standing as they do, that's beside the point. In fact, we read the text already in our prayer time in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, where Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all, the very first thing you ought to pray for, the supplications and prayers and intercession and giving of thanks be made. Did you catch that? Paul said, give thanks to all men, for kings, for those that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. May I remind you that the civil authority that Paul was talking about was soon going to arrest him? We're going to put him in jail where he'd spend the rest of his days and later take his life. He's saying they're the ones that we ought to pray for with thanksgiving. Now try to figure that one out. Most people never quite put the kind of, and Paul says we have a bigger calling than our freedom. We have a bigger calling than our citizenship, than our pursuit of happiness. We hear that all the time. And God's speaking here, and I'm going to get to my message here. I got three things I want to show you, and you see when we get there. But in this section of Scripture, God's talking about, of course, civil government. He's talking about law enforcement. If you look at verse number 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. If thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. And we think of the sword, the gun, the badge, the law enforcement officers. And you ever notice... And I said this on the podcast, and I was doing some driving that day. And when you're driving along the highway and you see a police car, what's the first reaction? You're on cruise control. Hit the brakes. Slow down. Why? Because you got a guilty conscience. If you know you're doing right, you just keep going the speed you're going. In fact, if you know you're doing right, you'll say a prayer for them and wave to them and have a good day. But when you are not sure, oh, I'm not sure if I was breaking the law, and your nerves start going, oh, I'm not sure. He's a minister of God for good. He's there for your protection. And then we consider our court system, and there's a whole lot of things we can go into. I just want to see the verses here. In the latter part of verse number 4, it says, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. That's our criminal justice system. And by the way, our criminal justice system has been broken for a long time in America. Because anymore, it's not about, and it's shortly after America started, it wasn't about right and wrong anymore. It's about who's got enough money and who can make the best argument. You go sit in a courtroom, it's sad, it's pathetic what our nation, what happens in the courtrooms in America today, because we've gotten away from things. But still, I'm thankful that we have a court system. If somebody does me wrong, I just don't pull out my revolver and let them have it. You know, I'm thankful for civil government. And then in verse number 6 through 8, Paul says this, for this cause pay ye tribute, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Aren't you glad when you're in trouble, you can call 911? When there's an accident, when there's a tragedy, there's someone you can call. They're ministers of God. They're, in reality, angels from God. For this cause pay ye tribute. And verse number 7, render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. And honor to whom honor. There's an interesting study of each of those things. But we ought to pay our taxes. We'll just say it that way. We ought to realize that there's something. And we're grateful that we have a system in our country. In our society, and our society is much better off than most places in the world. And we can point to the faults if we want to, or we can point to the blessing. And Paul says, I choose to point to the blessing. And again, Paul was living in a far more oppressive society than we can ever imagine. And he said, we ought to pay tribute to them. We ought to honor them. We ought to exalt them. We ought to pray for them. We ought to lift them up and thank God for them. The question is this, and this is what I want to focus on for a few moments, is when is it right or wrong to resist civil authority? Is it ever right to resist civil authority? When is it right? Well, I just don't like that person. That doesn't make it right. When is it right? And I'm going to give you some biblical examples, not my opinion or different people's opinion. When do we resist, or how do we resist those that are in authority? And we could apply this not only to civil authority, but the same principles. And we say something, we in our culture, in our society, are so far removed from biblical principles, we don't recognize them when we see them. And they not only apply to governmental authority, but also in the home, the three institutions that God has established, and also in the church. That's why our homes are such a mess, and our churches are such a mess, and our societies are such a mess today, because we're completely, even God's people who ought to know, are completely ignorant of when is it right to resist someone in authority over me. We need to understand this, that many things in our life are outside of our control. Did anybody here get to choose what day you're going to be born? I don't think so. Did anybody here get to choose who your parents are going to be? Did you get to choose which country you're going to be born into? There's a whole lot of things that are outside of our control. We can grumble and complain about them. Now, we've got it easier than most people in our world today. By far, we've got it easier than most people in the world. We can grumble and complain and if we want to, or we can realize how good we have it. And we can, and in fact, in reality, we ought to be more on the side of being thankful than anything. Let me make some comparisons of some biblical characters that gave us and served for us an example of when is it right or is it ever right to rebel against civil authority. There are some very clear, some very definite answers in the Bible, and you can see them mentioned here. We'll mention them and then look at an example for each one, or one or two examples for each one. Notice in verse number 1, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God." My God's bigger than any king. My God's bigger than any government. The powers that be are ordained of God. When we are submitting to those in authority over us, whether we want to acknowledge this or not, we are submitting to God. Because God's the one who put them there. Well, I just don't agree with him. He's not my president. You know, that's been the popular thing the last two elections. Well, that's not my president. That's showing our rebellion. Is what that is. He's the president of the United States of America. And we're citizens of the United States of America. Do you get an amen there? We're citizens of the United States of America, right? I think I'm speaking to everybody here. And he is our president. The last one and the one before that, the current one. He said, "Well, I just don't believe..." You be careful. When we are submitting to higher authority, we need to understand that we're submitting to God. I don't mean we agree with everything that they say. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to do everything that they say. Well, we ought to honor them. What do you mean by that? We're submitting to their authority, not to their person. What do you mean by that? Let's turn back, if you will. I'm going to look at these verses in Acts chapter number 5. In Acts chapter number 5. Are you still saved this morning? Yes. All right. I'm just making sure. I'm getting kind of quiet here. When is it right or wrong to resist civil authority? When we are, first of all, when we are submitting to a higher authority. That's when it's right to not submit to civil authority, when we are submitting to higher authority. And by the way, I'm not that higher authority. There's our problem right there. Well, I just don't think. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I believe so-and-so, and now it's today, it's I believe in Dr. So-and-so, or I saw Dr. So-and-so on the internet, and he's a new sensation. Well, I got this friend that's a doctor, and I've got this person that says this, and I agree with him. And when we become the authority, there's a problem. When it's my opinion that becomes the authority, there's the problem. Our higher authority is not me. It's not somebody else's opinion. It's not this news commentator. It's not this website. It's not, you know, there's only one authority that's higher than civil authority, and that's this book right here. And that is God Himself. And I want you to see something in Acts chapter number 7, or Acts chapter number 5. And I'm going to read all the text, but you'll find in Acts chapter number 5 that Peter and the apostles are preaching the gospel, and the civil and religious authorities turn against them. And they arrange for them to be arrested. And they were put in jail. By the way, when they were arrested and they were put in jail, I guess they probably didn't have handcuffs. They didn't resist. They said, "Here you are. Go ahead and cuff them. Go ahead and take me." They didn't fight. They didn't have a group of protesters outside. "We have our rights. We're Christians. You can't treat us. We're Roman citizens. You can't treat us." They willingly went to the jail cell. And there in the jail cell, all of a sudden, God Himself showed up. And the doors of the cell were opened up. And I could see Peter and the other apostles. I'm not sure what other apostles were with them. It just says Peter and the other apostles. They started looking at each other. What do we do now? We were put under arrest. We were put in jail. And now the doors are opened up. I ain't going outside them doors. There's death outside them doors. But God just opened the doors for me. And finally, God had to tell them what to do. They knew that they were there and they were not resisting arrest. But God said, I want you to go, to leave the prison, to go out into the courtyard of the temple and start preaching the gospel again. He didn't say, I want you to go out there and protest our rights. He didn't want you to go out there and protest against some moral cause or some political cause. He said, I want you to go out there and proclaim the glorious message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Peter and the other apostles said, well, I'm not so sure about that, but that's God that said that. And He carries more weight than the civil government, the religious leaders. So let's go at it. Now, keep in mind, they were beaten, they were arrested, they were put in jail for doing the thing that God told them to go do it again. And there they were the next morning in the temple preaching, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the rulers found out about it, they weren't real happy. They were not happy, to say the least. They came and said, what are you doing? We told you. We put you in jail. Went and checked with the jailer. And the jailer, I don't know what happened. That the angel of the Lord came and delivered them and brought them out. And they started to, they arrested them again and brought them in. And notice what Peter says in verse number 28. The leader said, did not we straitly command you? We gave you strict orders. We made this the law of the land that ye shall not teach in this name, in the name of Jesus. And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And notice what Peter said. By the way, this wasn't some half-cock criminal here. This wasn't an outright rebel. And I know that a lot of folks try to make Jesus out to be a rebel. They try to make Peter out to be a rebel. He was completely submissive. He wasn't resisting authority, but he said this in verse number 29. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, I could just hear them all saying it in unison, we ought to obey God rather than men. They weren't being smart alecks. They weren't being hardcore about it. They were just saying, you know, you put us in jail. We gladly went to jail. But now God told us to do something that goes contrary, and we decided we're going to obey God rather than man. They weren't being arrogant about it. And then he said, the God of our fathers, and Peter used this opportunity, as he also always did, to preach the gospel. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. He's talking to religious leaders. Him hath God exalted in the right hand, and the Prince of the Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. I believe Peter preached a longer sermon than what's recorded here, but this is what's recorded in the Bible. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom hath given them, given to them that obey Him. And when the hearers and the leaders heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay. They were convicted, but instead of turning to Christ, they turned bitter against Christ and against God. But it's very clear that Peter had one desire, and that was to preach the gospel. He wasn't out to fight for man's freedom, for man's liberty, for man's independence. He was out to tell people about Jesus Christ. And Peter was still subject to the authorities. He didn't resist when they came to arrest him. He was subject to them. You see, his answer was to God, not to man. Now think of that. I think Brother Roloff, who was one of my heroes when I was first saved, he's been in heaven for many years now, was put in jail a couple of times for resisting taking the state license. He says, you can do what you want, but I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to do what God tells me to do, and you can put me in jail if you want to. And I remember him saying many times, well, what do you do with 1 Corinthians or with Romans chapter number 13? He said, I don't do anything with it. I'm still obeying them. They came and arrested me and put them in jail. They had their job to do. I willingly went to jail. But I'm going to preach the gospel in the jail. And they got tired of him in the jail after a while. Said, man, let's get this guy out of here. Folks are getting saved in there. And we can't have that. But when we realize that we are submitting to a higher authority. And we're not arrogant. We're not belligerent about it. And we realize that they were given by God and we're going to obey them, but we're also going to obey God at the same time. When is it right or to resist civil authority? Secondly, and this is an important one, it kind of goes hand in hand, but I want you to see this, when we are willing to pay the price. Are we willing to pay the price of rebellion? And by the way, the people that led the rebellion against England and colonial America, they were willing to pay the price. They signed in the dotted line. They were willing to give up everything, and many of them did give up everything and lost everything in the process of gaining our freedom for us. Are we willing to pay the price? Look at verse number 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power of the civil authority resisteth the ordinance of God, the people that God has established. For they that resist shall receive to themselves. Now this is important to understand the wording here, the last part of the verse. They shall receive to themselves damnation. Now that's not talking about losing your salvation. That's not talking about the judgment of God. That's talking about the judgment of man. If I'm going to resist the authority, you can count on it, I'm going to be spending some time in jail. I'm going to be paying a fine. I might even lose my life if I resist the authority to obey God. We better be sure that we're submitting to a higher authority, not our higher authority, but the God Himself. And we need to know the Bible enough to know that that our main responsibility is to share the gospel, not to not pay our taxes because we don't like who's in the office or we don't like what our money's being spent for. And by the way, you talk about corruption. I challenge you to do a little bit of research and a little study about the government that Jesus was submissive to, the government that Paul was submissive to. The next time we say, well, bless God, I don't like them, and we ought not to obey them. We're going to obey God. And, oh, be careful. We better be sure that our focus is on obeying God, and we have biblical foundation, and not just because we don't like a certain law, but because we feel that we should have this freedom, because whatever the situation is, we need to make sure that we're submitting to a higher authority, and then we better be willing to pay the price. The Apostle Paul paid a tremendous price in obeying God and resisting authority. He was beaten often. He was arrested. You see, you read the ministry of Paul through the book of Acts. He went to a town, started preaching the gospel to the Jews first, and they threw him out of the synagogue. So the next day, he preached to the Gentiles. They had him arrested, sometimes beaten, sometimes in prison. Sometimes they snuck him out of town before he could be killed. And one time they did actually kill them and left him laying dead. He suffered shipwreck. He suffered all those things, and he willingly did them because he realized he was obeying God and disobeying civil authority. He wasn't going to fight back. He wasn't going to have a group of protesters. We demand our rights. I'm a Roman citizen. By the way, he was a Roman citizen. He had certain rights as a Roman citizen. But he was willing to pay the price because he realized there's something bigger than his patriotic cause. There's something bigger than his personal agenda. There's something bigger than his civil rights. The last year or so of his life, he was under arrest. In a jail cell some of the time, then a house arrest, he wore ankle bracelet. No, he didn't really have one of those. He would have if it was that day, if it was in today. He was only allowed to go certain places and had to check in and check out. He was under arrest the last few years of his life. And eventually he was led to the chopping block where he willingly went. He just laid his head down and said, there it is. Let me go to heaven. I'm ready to go. He was willing to pay the price. Are we really, really willing to pay the price? Do we want our freedom because we want freedom, or are we paying the price of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I dare say that none of us could ever even latch the shoes of the Apostle Paul in his love for the gospel and his understanding. But we like to put ourselves, well, bless God, I have my rights. I'd obey God rather than man. We don't even know what God says most of the time. And he was talking about the difference between not doing what we want or the rights that we have or think that we have, but we're talking about sharing the gospel. Are we willing to pay the price? And by the way, the one who ultimately paid the price for all our sins was the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody was protesting against the unjust trial that he got. He didn't even raise an objection himself. He willingly went as a lamb before his shears is done. He didn't say a word. Pilate even marveled. Aren't you even going to answer for yourself? No. That's what I came into the world for. You see, his cause was to pay the way for our salvation. And that ought to be our cause and our purpose, is not to bring social justice or liberty or whatever, but it's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus willingly went. They came to arrest him. Remember in the garden when the Roman soldiers showed up with all their might to arrest Jesus? Why? Because they were afraid that there would be a mob that would fight against them. But nobody stood up and fought against them. In fact, they said, Jesus stood up and said, Whom seek you? Who are you seeking? Who are you looking for? They said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said, I'm he. And they all just fell flat on their backs. That's one of the greatest scenes in all the Bible. They got up and brushed themselves, picked up their weapons again. And he again said, who are you looking for? And it said, Jesus of Nazareth. And said, that's me. You can let these guys go. They're not going to fight against you. I'll go. You can put your weapons down. I'll just walk with you. You don't have to cuff me, tie me up. I'll just willingly go. He willingly submitted to civil authority. Because his cause was the gospel. His cause was not about bringing reform to the Roman government. His cause was not about a political movement. And our cause ought to be about the gospel. That's what the Apostle Paul's cause was. That's what Peter's cause was. I'll gladly go to... But Jesus told me to leave the jail. Well, I guess I'll leave. And Paul and Silas were in jail. And the jailers were... remember the jailer in Acts 16 was ready to kill himself. And Paul said, don't do it. We're all still here. And he, of course... naturally thinking the doors are open, the prisoners are out. No, we're still here. We haven't gone anywhere. And the man was so impressed by Paul having the opportunity to leave, but he sat there, willfully submitting to the authority of civil government. The man said, I've been a hardened jailkeeper my whole life. I've never seen anything like that. Whatever you have, I want. What must I do to be saved? And I have a feeling that we'd have the same reaction today if we had the same spirit the Apostle Paul had. It's not about me getting my rights or I'm unjustly put in prison. I think I should be, bless God, the doors are open. I'm out of here. Forget about that jailer. No, Paul was looking at his enemy with the eyes of Jesus Christ and loving him and willing to share the gospel with him. Are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to lay down our life for the gospel's sake? And then this is another thing. We see that in verse number 2. We jump down to verse number 5. We see something else here that I'll give you an example in the Bible. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath's sake, but for conscience' sake. Be subject to them if you want to live a quiet and peaceable life, unless God directly says, no. And by the way, God's not on either side if I should wear the mask or not wear the mask. God's not on either side if I should get the vaccine or not get the vaccine. Did I lose you yet? Well, bless God, I don't want it. Well, bless God, I don't think they're... Well, I still think the best thing I've heard is I don't know what's in that vaccine. You ever eat McNuggets? You know what's in them? In fact, I'd say 99% of your food ain't what you think it is. Well, I don't know what's in it. You have your opinion, whatever you want. That's beside the point. Now I just won some friends and lost some enemies here. Made some enemies, I think, because I even brought it up. But everybody's got their opinion and their rights and their, I'm right. And every man did that which was just, right in their own eyes. That's the day we live in today. I'm going to obey civil authority unless there's a direct biblical command. And you can find a Bible verse to support your opinion, whatever your opinion is, if you look hard enough. But my command is first and foremost to preach the gospel to the world. That's what we're to do as Christians, to love this book, to proclaim the truth of the gospel message. But there may come a time when I have to disobey civil authority. I need to make sure I'm willing to pay the price. It means I'm going to have my head chopped off. That's fine. I'll be glad to do that. And I tell you something, you're not going to have your head chopped off by wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. It's not that important. That's not worth there's a difference between a conviction and a convenience. Am I willing to pay that price? Am I truly submitting to the authority of preaching God, what God has called me to do, what God's given me the responsibility? And then the third thing is, I need to make sure, and this is where we'll lose everybody, when my spirit is right. When my spirit is right. Is my spirit right? Verse number 5, for your conscience sake. Do I have a clean conscience? Do I have a right spirit? Some of us had to decide early in our Christian life to rebel against parental authority. And I'm sad to say that though I was doing the right thing, my spirit was not right and caused more harm than good because my spirit was not right with God. I didn't have the right attitude. Let me give you a character in the Old Testament. Some of you know who he is. The only person in the Old Testament that it said of him, not only once, not only twice, but three times, that he had an excellent spirit. And who was that? Daniel. Daniel was taken captive by a pagan government, most likely watched his parents executed in front of his eyes, and then he was put in chains and marched across the deserts to Babylon, where he had his manhood cut off as a young child. He was a eunuch, the Bible says. He had everything that he ever knew. He was taught a new language, given a new name. He was nobody. But still, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And the prince of the eunuchs said, Daniel, you've got to do this. But Daniel won the heart of the prince of the eunuchs while he was disobeying him because he had an excellent spirit. You know, if he was like me, like most of us, bless God, I ain't going to do that. You can't tell me what to do. No, Daniel said, you know, I'm sorry, but I can't do this as much as I love you and appreciate you and appreciate the good care you've taken of me. You've given me food. Sure, I'm locked up in a jail cell, but you've given me food to eat. He was grateful for what he had, and he had an excellent spirit. He won the heart of the prince of the eunuchs. Later, he won the heart of a pagan, ungodly king and was responsible for that ungodly, the most wicked man that ever walked the face of the earth as far as kings are concerned. He was responsible for that man getting saved because he had an excellent spirit. Make sure our attitude is right. And even his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that we're told about in the book of Daniel, and they were willing to, it said, we're not going to bow to your statue. You can throw us in the furnace, but we're not going to bow to your statue. They were willing to pay the price. And I don't think they were arrogant and belligerent. You read the story, they weren't, but God, you can do what you say because God told me not to do that. They weren't arrogant. They weren't obnoxious about it. They said, O king, and they even showed Nebuchadnezzar respect. O King Nebuchadnezzar, live forever. We'll honor you, but we cannot go beyond what our God has told us to do, but we'll do our best to honor you. Now, you made the decree that we're going to the fiery furnace. We'll be glad to go to the fiery furnace. We're willing to pay the price. fact, you don't have tithes, we'll just jump in ourselves. We're not worried about that. And the king said, I'm going to give you one more chance to renounce your foolishness. And they said, no, king, don't, you don't have to do that. We'll just open the door, we'll march into the furnace ourselves. The king got mad. They couldn't understand that. Of course, you know the story that God delivered them. God went down into the furnace with them. God showed up, and the king looked down and said, didn't we throw three men? Now we see four of them walking about in the fire. God was able to deliver them. And by the way, God, I like the statement of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before they went. They said, our God's able to deliver us. But if not, it doesn't matter. We're willing to pay the price. We'd rather die than disobey our God. By the way, they're in the same situation that Daniel. There was nothing, no reason humanly they should show any respect to Nebuchadnezzar, their captor. The one who oppressed them and ruined their life, but they showed him every bit of respect and said, you know, we've got to obey God, but we'll honor you and we'll respect you. And our spirit says so much. And I dare ask you to be honest with yourself in all the wickedness and the vileness that's going on in our world. And we can point to this side and that side, but the reality is if we look inside of our own heart, we'll see enough wickedness there. In our own self-righteousness. And our own, well, I'm not going to do that. They can't tell me what to do. And I'm so glad Jesus didn't have that spirit. So glad the Apostle Paul didn't have that spirit. So glad Peter and the other apostles didn't have that spirit. I'm so glad Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego didn't have that spirit. But if I must obey God, and in doing so, if I must disobey the authorities, I'm going to have the right spirit, and I'm going to be willing to pay the price, whatever that price is. If that means I'm going to lose my freedom, that's fine, because my real freedom's in Christ. If I'm going to lose my citizenship, that's okay, because my citizenship's really in heaven. It's not about my rights or my well-being or my family. It's about Jesus Christ and Him alone. And oh, we need to be careful in this day where we take things to where it fits our understanding and our convenience. And I think that this is maybe the most obvious place to me as a Christian that, well, I just don't feel comfortable doing that. I don't think they have a right to do that. Oh, the gospel had nothing to do with that decision. But we take our stand. Bless God, I'm going to draw the line in the sand and... where's the gospel in all this? I was even asked this morning about the vaccine. I said, you know, if it'll make it better for me, to easier for me to preach the gospel, I'll take your silly vaccine. Ichabod. Because it's not about the vaccine. It's not about my American freedom or my rights. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hello? But I know I'm talking to people that I don't know if anybody's, and it's almost like you got to keep it a secret. I don't care, whatever. It's not about the vaccine or not vaccine or the politics or whatever. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about, well, the government says I have to do this. Well, the government says I have to do a lot of things, and I'm thankful for the government. And I don't agree with much of what they say, but I tell you what, I can far more agree with them than what the Apostle Paul could have, and he never rose a stink about anything. Or Jesus, or Peter, or anyone else in the Bible. I guarantee you, Daniel, none of us will ever face what Daniel faced, and yet he honored the king. Two different pagan, wicked kings. He honored and sought to obey them and sought to please them. He said, you know, I've got to, and he had an excellent spirit and was even able to win others to the Lord because of his spirit, because his attitude was right. In reality, when we get so self-righteous and so set in our ways and our opinions, without realizing it, we're pushing people away from the gospel. Think of that. If I lose everybody here, Well, it's nap time now, isn't it? Well, I'm going to get that. We have our opinion, but what difference does it make? Because the only thing I'm concerned about is sharing the gospel with those that are lost. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, there's nothing in all the world more important than that. I'm going to ask you to...